So Lord, may you graciously help me. I'll turn your prayerful attention to the psalm that we read, Psalm 90. And I'd like to take for a text verses 12, 13 and 14. Psalm 90 and verses 12, 13 and 14. These are the first three petitions that Moses prays. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. That's Psalm 90, verses 12, 13 and 14. Psalm 90 is known as a psalm that shows us something of the eternal nature of God and also the frailty of human life. It's a psalm that's got many contrasts in it. It talks about the eternal God, and it talks about man's life as being frail, that it soon passes away. It is a tale that is told. There's so many contrasts in this psalm between the eternality and the greatness and the holiness of God and the mortality and the sinfulness of human beings. And as we read together, the backdrop of this psalm is very somber. You think of it, if you were one of those Israelites in the wilderness, you had been told that, and it was of course a just sentence, they had rebelled and been disobedient to God these 10 times. And then they were under this judgment that they would not enter the promised land. They'd left Egypt with an intention to come to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they had been told that they would not be able to enter. And this even affected Moses. Moses was not able to enter either. Not because of the reason of Numbers 14, but a later event that happened when he smote the rock instead of speaking to the rock for water to gush out. So all those 20 years old and over, when they came out of Egypt, were not going to be able to enter into the promised land. That was, we read there were 600,000 men. So if you do a quick calculation over, and that was 38 years more they were going to live in the wilderness until they all died. So that's an average of, well, if you think of some women as well, but something around 50 funerals a day for the next 38 years. As an association of the judgment of God on Israel at this time. This was a sobering event to realize that they would never enter that promised land. What they'd come out of Egypt with an intention to enter into the promised land, but because of their sin and their rebellion and their disobedience to God, they were under the judgment of God. And you see that here. In verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The futility. They'd never be able to get to that promised land. Their hopes were dashed in an earthly sense. And this was very somber. And as Moses goes through these facts, he doesn't say this is unfair. He doesn't say that this is God is unreasonable in any way. He states the facts full square, that this is how it is. We will not enter the promised land. Not those that were 20 years old and over when they came out of the promised land, apart from two people. And that was Joshua and Caleb, those spies that were faithful to what God had said, and they believed that they were well able to enter the promised land with God's help. They entered the promised land, but everybody else didn't. And this was a difficult time to have funeral after funeral, 50 funerals a day on average. It was a very somber time in the history of Israel. In verse 10 it says, "For our days of our years are 80 years, and by reason of strength they be 80 years. Yet is there strength, labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." So Moses is telling it as it is. He's not trying to avoid it and trying to pretend that this isn't the truth. He's saying it full square. We are under the judgment of God. But the amazing thing is, that, and the lovely thing is with Psalm 90, that it does not stop at the end of verse 11. It does not just give a catalogue of the sadness and the difficulty that they are in. And you see, this is the nature of the gospel. The nature of the gospel is that we go back to the very God that we have rebelled against and sinned against, and are under the curse because of our sin. And this is exactly what Moses teaches us in verse 12 onwards. We have 7 petitions that Moses prays. He goes back to the God that has pronounced this curse, justly so. And you see, you might say, well, what's this got to do with us in Laken Heath at the beginning of this year? Why is this important to us? Well, in a sense, you see, we are also under the wrath of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, is a truth that none of you will be able to escape. And in a sense, we come to the house of God. And in this last year, many of us have lost loved ones, godly loved ones, people that feared the Lord, but they didn't avoid death because they feared the Lord. They still had that sentence of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, still has been executed upon some of our loved ones in the last year. So, what is the difference then between the world, as it were, and the godly? If we're under this curse, what is the difference? Well, you see, the great thing is that Moses realized that he needed to go back to that God. And you see, God is able. We read that, if I just look in, I think it's Numbers. Numbers, a chapter, no, it's not Numbers, it's in Nehemiah. It's in Nehemiah when it's talking about the history of Israel, when Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. And we read that, but God turned the curse into a blessing. And that, you see, is what the nature of the gospel is. The wages of sin is death. That was a curse. Death was a curse. But then we go to the New Testament and we hear the Apostle Paul saying, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul, what are you talking about? Are you talking about death? Are you talking about a curse? Paul says, yes, I am. Because the curse of death to God's people is a blessing. Because it takes them to be with Christ, which is far better. The curse has been turned into a blessing. And this is the nature of the gospel. And this is what Moses prays for, you see, in this prayer at the end of Psalm 90. He lays out the bleakness of the impossibility of entering the promised land. And that did not change. This prayer of Moses did not change the fact that Israel, 20 years old and upward, would not enter the promised land. It didn't change that fact. So you might say, well, then what's the point? Moses went back to that God to know communion and blessing with that God. And he would reverse, as it were, that this, you see, we read that God has taken the sting of death, the sting out of death, not death itself. And for believers, they will still die if the world remains. But God has taken the sting out of death. And that's the important thing. So as we look at this, we realize that Moses is going back to that God and seeking to know God's blessing. And many of you, perhaps, have got things in your lives, big things and difficulties, and we've all facing with the fact that that last enemy, death, looms before us. And as we get older, and as our increasing frailty and sicknesses increase, we become more aware that we must all die. And you see, we are fast hastening to a never-ending eternity. I just look up in the 2 Samuel chapter 14. We have an interesting little word. 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. These are the words spoken by the woman of Tekoa who pretended to be a widow that had lost her sons. And she was feigning herself to try and get David to bring back Absalom from his banishment. But there's a gospel truth here. 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground. That's what the first part of Psalm 90 tells us, amongst other things. Which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any persons. We cannot get to glory by being the blue-eyed boy. There is no blue-eyed boy. There is no glory for anybody outside of Christ. But then we read this. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. And that's the gospel. God has devised means that the banished, those who are rightly banished for their sin, can come back into relationship with that very God that has pronounced the curse for sin against them. And so you see, this is the great blessing of coming back to God. You might think, well, if you've offended somebody, you want to keep as far away from them as possible. Moses doesn't. He needed God. Every day Israel was being sustained in that desert by God, by the cloudy pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day, and the daily manna, the water that followed them. That rock was Christ, out of which the water flowed. They were sustained. So that's the background to Moses' prayer here. It was very somber. And yet, you see, Moses goes back in prayer. And that's a good for us in our difficulties. This was hard for Moses. He was really upset that he wouldn't enter the promised land. He pleaded with God that he might go into that promised land. And God told him, don't talk to me anymore about that. You're not to go into the promised land. Of course, eventually we read in the New Testament that Moses was in the promised land on that Mount of Transfiguration. With Elijah and Christ himself, speaking of the decease that Christ would accomplish at Jerusalem. But here we come then to, if we look then at this first petition, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. What Moses is saying is, we've had all these sad events, but he's saying, he's coming back to God and saying, He's praying, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You might say, well, what wisdom is there if we're going to die in the wilderness anyway? What's the purpose? Because he realized that even if they got to the promised land, they wouldn't live forever. The most important thing was to have a right relationship with God. And that's true of us, every one of us here today. Yes, however we fare, in a health sense or in a prosperity sense here below, it's however we fare, it is temporal. Yes, they saw these 40 years as they wouldn't be allowed to enter the promised land. It put a time span on everything, and sometimes illnesses come in our lives, and we know that it cannot be that long in our lives before we must pass some time into eternity. But what are we to do? Are we to fight against God? Are we going to say God is unkind or unreasonable? Moses shows us what we should do. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Number them because they're short. Number them because they need to be used to have a right relationship with that God that by nature we've offended. And you see, this is the great need that we each have. So teach us to number our days, to use them wisely, to realize that they are limited. You see, it's easy when you're young to think, well, life's a long time before us. There's many years, and of course we don't know that. But there's an easy thing to think like that. But Moses is saying, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is wisdom? What wisdom can we apply our hearts to? To know God. To know God. To know his ways. To know him as a merciful God. As not just a judge. He is a judge. He is a righteous judge. But he's also merciful. And this is a great, the great amazingness of the gospel. Yet he devised means whereby his banished, rightly banished, should be brought back. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So it's our wisdom in our lives to seek God, to seek that God who we are by nature under the curse with because of our sin. We're to go back and we're to know him. And you see, Moses, you see, it was able at his end, blessed art, happy art thou, O Israel, what people is like unto thee, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Is he talking about the same people? Yes, he is. What's the difference? They've obtained mercy, and he's looking for that blessed hope. And that's what we need to do in our lives. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And it's very often when people get something come into their lives and they realise that life can't be very long, it suddenly focuses their mind on the fact that this life is not forever and that they need to prepare. And so often, of course, that can be God's mercy to that person, that they may seek the Lord, that they may find the Lord before they come to the judgment seat of Christ. But then in verse 13 it says, return, O Lord, return. God had turned away from Israel in there, that they had disobeyed him these 10 times, we read, in rebellion. And Moses goes back to that God and says, return. You see, earlier in this same chapter or this same psalm we have in verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and says, return, ye children of men. That's taken from Genesis 3 verse 19, when it says that dust thou art and to dust thou shalt return. This was the curse. This was the judgment on Adam, that he wouldn't be living on this earth forever, that his body would turn back to the dust. And that will be true of all of us if the world remains. Return, ye children of men. That's what God said. You've got to return. And Moses takes those same words and turns it back and says, Lord, return to us in mercy. Yes, we've despised thy ways. We've not listened to thy voice. When God said, go into the promised land and possess it, we've said, no, we won't. We'd rather go back to Egypt. They provoked the Lord so greatly. And yet what does Moses pray? Return, O Lord. He prays that God would turn in mercy towards them. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. You see, this is not a repentance that God has done something wrong. But it's in the word repentance, it means turning around. And in that sense, he wants God to turn around. Not that God was doing anything wrong, but that God would turn around and show mercy where he was showing judgment. And of course, how can we ever know that that mercy of God? You see, that's really involved in the next verse. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Verse 14. So mercy, you see, is the opposite of judgment. And that's a great thing when we think of mercy. Israel deserved judgment. They had provoked God. They had disobeyed God. They had murmured about the manna. They had murmured about the way that God was leading them. And often so much like us. They had murmured against God. And they rebelled. But Moses says, return, O Lord. Just as God had said, Adam, you've got to return to the dust. Moses said, Lord, return from thine anger to show mercy. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. So what does mercy mean? Mercy means that we don't receive what we deserve. And Israel deserved to be cast off, deserved to be punished. And yet, and in one sense, that wasn't lifted in the sense that they were not allowed to go into the promised land, the older ones. But they were not forbidden to have a relationship with our God. And that is true for us, you see. Though the sentence still hangs over us that Christians still will die, but they can have a relationship with God in this life, which then will expand into eternal joy in the world to come. And this is the what we need to grasp hold of in our lives. In the difficulty, perhaps, I don't know all your different or your lives, but there may be some great mountain that lies in front of you, spoiling, as it were, all your future as you see it in a natural sense. And Moses had that, a huge mountain. He could not enter the promised land. He'd love to have entered it, naturally speaking, but he was forbidden. But he goes back to that God and asks to know him. Because you see, God was ultimately preparing them for eternity. And that is what God is doing with this life. This life is, it's not really, the life here below is not just about the Lord in seeing you get on better and better here below. The purpose of this life is to glorify God and be prepared for eternity, so that we may know him. That we may be under the blood, that we may be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You see, O satisfy us early with thy mercy. Mercy means that we don't receive the judgment that we should do. We don't receive the judgment we should do. And mercy, and therefore, the only way that we cannot receive the judgment that we should receive is by somebody else receiving that judgment. So somebody else gets blamed and punished for disobedience. Somebody else gets punished for pride. Somebody else gets punished for rebellion. And not me. That's what mercy means. Mercy means that we don't receive what we deserve. Well, and justice means that when there's sin committed, somebody needs to be punished. But you see, that's really where Calvary is. You see, for God to look mercifully upon Israel meant that God the Father would not show mercy to his only begotten Son. The one that never disobeyed. The one that always obeyed. The one that was always willing. The one that always served him all the time perfectly. He was going to receive the punishment of those Israelites who were constantly disobeying, constantly rebelling against God. You see, that's the nature of the gospel. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Some people say that the Old Testament's all about law and justice and there's no mercy. That's not true. Moses knew a lot about mercy. He pleaded it here. If Moses had just known about judgment, he would have cut off Israel many times before. Indeed, in the chapter that we read, he pleaded for Israel. He pleaded that the Lord would not disinherit them. You see, if Moses was somebody who was just in it for his own pride and in it for his own fame, God said to him, I'm going to disinherit Israel. I'm going to make of you a great nation, Moses. Moses might have said, oh, that's nice. I'd like to be a big nation just under Moses. Moses doesn't want any of it. He says, what's going to happen about the glory of God? That's what Moses was worried about, the glory of God. And he said that the nations around will say that you weren't able to bring them into the promised land. And that's why they died. It won't be for the glory of God, and Moses didn't want it. See, Moses was not proud. He was not in it for himself, in it for his own fame, in it for his own glory. He was there for the glory of God. He was concerned for God's glory. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. So you see, justice would mean that we're under the wrath of God. But Moses goes back to that same God that he's offended and pleads on behalf of Israel for mercy. And this is such a pattern for us today in our lives. There may be things in your lives and you think that it's going to ruin my life. It's going to ruin my future. Well, Israel had some things that for those people, that generation, it was going to ruin their future of entering into the promised land naturally. But it did not stop those spiritual Israelites entering the promised land spiritually. And you see, that's the hope here. We don't know, we're not promised that we'll have all the bounty here below, but you see, if this life is a preparation for eternity, the things that we come into are a preparation for eternity. And so Moses goes back to this God, you see. And then look at verse 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now you say, hang on, are we talking about the same psalm here? The beginning of Psalm 90 is very somber, very sad, very downcast as it were. We're going to die and our lives are but a tale that is told. It's sad, it's disappointing. But Moses turns around and says that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. What's happening here? See, Moses realizes that if he can know God, if he knows, if he truly has that right relationship with God, then it's well. Whatever the circumstances, whether it's entering the promised land, naturally speaking, or not entering the promised land, naturally speaking, if God is with me, it's well. Eternally well. That we may rejoice and be glad all our days. You see, some people say, well, Christians, should they be melancholy, sad, downcast? Or should they be rejoicing? What should they be? Well, I think if you take Moses in Psalm 90, I think the answer is they should be both. Moses knew what it was to be sad over sin, sad over the judgments of God, to be real and to be fearful. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He knew the power of God and the fear of God was in his heart. But he also knew what it was to rejoice. He knew what it was to rejoice in his God when the judgment had been overpassed, when somebody had stood in the path. But you say, well, Moses, this was written before Christ. Well, it was. But you look at how it's described in Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses. Let me just find it. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Ah, Christ, the Old Testament. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He saw having Christ as being everything. And he saw that if Israel was under this judgment of not being able to enter the land for those that were 20 years old and upward as they came out of Egypt, he saw that, yes, that was sad naturally, and he understood that, but if he had God, then he was happy. Make us glad according that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And you see here, we see the nature of true godliness. Has true sorrow and true joy. You see, if somebody says, oh, we want to just be happy Christians. But do they know what's what they've been saved from? Do they realise the holiness of God? And there's others who say, well, we just want to have a long face. Everything's sombre. Well, Moses would say, no, I want to rejoice all my days. I want to rejoice in the Lord and in his great salvation, in his provision of a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Don't leave us to go far off from God. Don't leave us to go back away from God. You see, it's a wonderful thing. This God is, it's a tremendous mystery, really. The gospel, a tremendous deep mystery, really. If you look at this in Psalm 25, the pleading ground of the psalmist in Psalm 25, I ask you to think whether you could go to the law courts and use this as a pleading ground if you were caught for speeding or caught for anything else and you were guilty for it. Psalm 25, verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. And listen to the reason. For it is great. You say, well, I'm sorry, but that's no pleading ground. You don't go to the judge and say, well, I'm a terrible robber, and therefore can you let me free? You say, well, that's all the more reason for him to put you behind bars. But you see, there's something in the nature of God that pities the sinfulness, as it were, of his people. And as they confess their poverty, it is a pleading ground for his mercy. You'd say it doesn't work in nature like that. The more guilty you are of something, the more you're going to get booked for it. But in this way of God's mercy, the deeper, as it were, the crime is, the deeper we understand the way that we treated God. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. You see, it's like if you had a beggar come to your door and say, please, can you give me some money because I've got a Rolls Royce in my garage? They say, well, if you got short of it, sell the Rolls Royce and you've got money yourself. But if you say, I come to your house as a beggar and I've got nothing. And you see, it's the nothingness of the beggar that makes him attractive in terms of to be given to. It stirs the heart of somebody to be kind to them. It's their poverty. And you see, when it comes to salvation, as it were, it's the depths of the realization of our sin that, as it were, strangely, amazingly, becomes a pleading ground for mercy. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. You see, we have to confess our sins. To confess sin is to say about sin what God says about sin. So if we say, well, sin isn't very bad and it's not really much to worry about anyway, we're not confessing it. Because we're not saying about sin what God says about sin. But when we confess our sins, we say and agree with God about the heinousness of our sin. We agree with him that it deserves punishment. We agree with him that this is true. Thou art a just God, righteous God. And yet, we have a merciful God. How God can be holy and hate sin completely and totally and yet welcome sinners to heaven because of what Christ has done is a mystery. It's the mystery of the gospel. How he could be so holy and yet be merciful. You can understand a judge that's not very holy being merciful. But how can a judge that's totally holy be also merciful to somebody who's fallen foul of the law? Well, the way is because Calvary satisfied justice. Justice and mercy came together at Calvary. They were satisfied so that God could be just and the justifier of the ungodly. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. As we come to this beginning of another year, That we may not say, well, we've got all these days, just waste them. No. Redeem the time. Time is short. We don't know how short. I was only thinking the other day how quickly things happen in our lives. I was in Ghana. As you know, I was meant to be preaching here last year in the September, and I didn't preach here because I went to Ghana to dedicate a church out there. Little did I know that it was just over a month later that my father would die. How quickly. You realise you don't know how long you have. And you see, our lives are a brittle thread. We don't know how long it will be. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So what's wisdom? Just counting them up and saying, oh, I'm 94, I'm 95, I'm 96. Is that the wisdom? No, that's just arithmetic. The wisdom is to realise that they're short and we need to be ready for when they are no more. It's the devil's work, you see, to say, well, you're young. You've got plenty of time yet. You don't need to worry. We don't know. Now, this is not to be morbid. You see, I want you to see that in this Psalm 90, Moses didn't go round with a long face all the time. He says that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. There was a joy. We read elsewhere, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not a joy because we've put away graveyards, we've put away death, we've ignored health problems, we've just drunk ourselves drunk with drink so that we can't think of any, and then therefore we have joy. That's not the joy of Psalm 90. The joy of Psalm 90 is facing the most certain things in this life, that we will not live forever, that eternity is before us each, and facing that full square and rejoicing in Christ's salvation. Rejoicing that there's a way through this, a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. This is what Moses delighted in, and this is what Moses was praying for. So teach us to number our days. The fact that it's short, it doesn't mean that we have to be miserable. It's because we're looking for something better. Because, you see, if we had everything here below just perfect, you think of it. If all your life was just one perfection of everything that you wanted and everything that you liked and no problems and no difficulties and nobody saying anything unkind about you. Just imagine that. Would you be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God? Would you be looking for a city whose builder and maker is God? Or would you be saying, well, it's rather nice here, I think I'll stay? Or would you be, you see, the Lord is preparing his people to be ready. To be ready. Yes, they can live here below, not miserable, but aware that this is not your rest. Aware that this is not what we're living for. Well, this call then, return, O Lord. Calling, desiring the Lord would return in mercy. Yes, he's turned away from us in his wrath, his righteous anger for sin. But you see, we pray that the Lord would turn back to us. See, in Zechariah, we have that beautiful word. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my equal, smite the shepherd. That's what had to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how Psalm 90, this is how Psalm 90 could be true. This is how Moses could have hope, because of Christ. There was no other reason. Outside of Christ, Moses and every one of us would be eternally lost. But you see, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's hope. And yes, there are difficulties in our lives. And Moses knew them. And Moses felt them. And Moses pleaded with God that he would change it. But God said, don't talk to me about this. But he didn't say, don't talk to me about this prayer that he's praying here. That we'll look later, but I believe it was graciously answered. So teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants,
O satisfy us early with thy mercy, the mercy of God, the mercy that gives us hope when there's no hope, gives us the gift of eternal life when there's nothing but death around us. And you see, this is not that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. A rejoicing in the Lord. A rejoicing not because we've turned ourselves away and we're totally separated from reality. You see, God's people can rejoice in the Lord, facing the most difficult things ahead of them. Facing these 38 years, or however, we don't exactly know when this psalm was written, but sometime in that period of 38 years, facing the fact that they would never enter the promised land, they would always be sort of nomads, as it were, in the wilderness. They would never be able to, as it were, make it their home, because we read that the pillar of cloud moved by day and night, and sometimes it was there for 2 days, sometimes for a year, but sometimes just out. A few days, and then they have to move on again. You say, well, I can't make this my home. Well, that's where Moses says at the beginning, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. Our dwelling place is not a physical location on the map. Our dwelling place is God himself. And that, you see, changes things. All the time you think, well, if I get this, 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 and this, then I'm happy. Moses says, well, we haven't got lots of things that we wanted. But if I've got the presence of God with me, I'm happy. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. May the Lord have his blessing.